Greater than the Rose Bowl, and the Toilet Bowl, everything, the Prayer Bowl, right there. Morning. I'm so happy to be here. So pause, I mean, give me a break if I just don't mind pause and just kind of soak it all in for a minute, but I love being here. You bring life to me, and so I really love your pastor and his wife, and Randy's meant a lot for me, and God has really strategically placed him in my life. I believe that there is a movement taking place. I believe the church is getting back to the original plan that God had in the very beginning, which was a movement of people that belonged to the people, and nothing can stop the church when it's working correctly. And church is so much more than a Sunday morning thing. It's more than that, and I believe that God has placed Randy and I together. I think there's some very powerful strategic things that are going to be happening in the world. I think that it's my goal to get the church back to where, to help, not like I can do it, but to help get the church back to woo God's heart again. When he's coming back for church without spot or wrinkle, we've got a little ways to go. And so I think we just have to get back to the original plan. And sometimes we get lost, you know. I get lost because I'm a man. Ladies, you get lost too. You just stop and ask for directions, which is really stupid. It really is. There's a reason why guys don't ask for directions. I mean, if we did what you wanted us to do, we'd stop at every convenience store. Are you sure this is? Yes, the road is right there. It has to be. I got the address right here. I will find it. Men want to find something. They want to conquer, and women just want to stop and ask for directions. I've heard it said that Moses wandered around the wilderness for 40 years because he wouldn't stop and ask for directions. I personally think it's because he stopped and asked for directions every time a woman told him to stop and ask for directions. That's why it took him 40 years. I know you say that it takes us so long to get there, but if we had stopped and asked for directions every time with all the people that don't know where they're going anyway, we still get there quicker than what would have happened. Men were just, and guys, I want to help you out today. I want to help you. Someone sent me this thing, and I don't know why they sent it to me because I certainly didn't need it. But for some of you guys that might need it, it's called the female demerit system, and this is how it works. You know, there's only one rule. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? So the number one rule is to make her happy, okay? So you do things she likes, and you get points. You do something she dislikes, you lose points. You do something she expects, you get nothing. That's just the way the game works. Like simple duties, like making the bed. You make the bed, that's 1 point. You make the bed but forget the decorative pillow, that's 0. You throw the bedspread over rumpled sheets, -1. You go out to buy her what she wants in the rain, +5. Or buy her what she wants, +5. In the rain, +8. Return with Twinkies, -5. You check out a suspicious noise at night, that's +1. You check out a suspicious noise at night and it's nothing, 0. You check out a suspicious noise at night and it is something, +5. You pummel it with an iron rod, +10. It was her pet, that's -20. For her birthday, you take her out to dinner, that's +2. You take her out to dinner and it's not a sports bar, +3. Okay, it is a sports bar, -2. And it's all you can eat night, -3. It's a sports bar, it's all you can eat night, and your face is painted with the colors of your favorite team, that's -10. A night out, you take her to a movie, +1. You take her to a movie at your church, fireproof, that's +25 right there. You take her to a movie she likes, +3. There's a concept, isn't it? You take her to a movie you hate, +6. I'm just helping you out here, guys. You take her to a movie you like, -2. It's called Death Cop, -3. You lied and said it was a foreign film about orphans, -15. Let's get a little touchy here, a little personal. Let's talk about our physique for a second. You develop a noticeable pot belly, -15. I heard some groans there. You develop a noticeable pot belly and exercise to get rid of it, +10. You develop a noticeable pot belly and resort to baggy jeans and baggy Hawaiian shirts, -30. You respond, it doesn't matter, you have one too. That's minus 8,000 right there. Then let's talk about the big question for a moment. You know what the big question is? It's not, will you marry me? No. That's not what's for dinner. It's, do these make me look fat? Minus 5. You haven't responded yet, and it's already minus 5. I'm sorry, you can't win on this question. You just get out there with the least amount of damage as possible.
Buy a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, that's probably minus 25, something like that. You get minus 5 no matter what, but you hesitate in responding, that's minus 10. You ask her where, that's minus 35. Any other response is just a minus 20. Communication, when she wants to talk about a problem, you listen. Displaying what looks like a concerned expression. How much do you think that would be worth? Nothing. That's what she expects. You listen for over 30 minutes plus 50. Yeah, I heard that one. There's a lot of places I could take that, but I'm just... You listen for more than 30 minutes without looking at the TV plus 500. You listen for more than 30 minutes without, but she realizes this is because you have fallen asleep. That's minus 4,000. This is how we know that in Genesis it says he made male and female in his image. This is how we know that women were made in his image too, because we can't figure them out. And we can't figure God out either, right? We tend to think that God was always made, but he's neither male nor female. He made women in his image. He also made man in his image. And we know he made women in his image because we can't figure her out. Right? But we're kind of lost when it comes to women. And all the men said, yeah, right? But that's what makes it so fun, because we like to find things. It's the chase that we like. If we could figure you out, what's the fun in that? Jesus was meant to be found. You ever notice that? The Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, if you seek me, Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you will find me, if what? You search with all of your heart. He wants to be found. He likes to play hide and seek. Is it any wonder that he made people that peekaboo, little kids love peekaboo? They come out of the womb and it's not long before you play peekaboo. It's the dumbest game in the world. Peekaboo. And they just laugh at that. Now, I understand when they laugh at me, because I look in the mirror, I laugh too. But I see them do it with other people too. They just put your hand in front of your face, pull your hand away, peekaboo, and they just love that, because there's something about wanting to find something. There's something about needing to be found. Jesus is a player. He likes to play. He wants to be found. And he says you have to search for him with all your heart. Sometimes he hides really well because he wants to see, and he wants us to see, how bad we really want to find him. I play hide and seek with my boys. They are terrible at it. My younger one's terrible because he's always like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and count, and all you can hear is boom, 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 as he runs past, and boom, 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 as he runs past, you know, and you're like, will you hurry up, right? Then you're looking for him. Oh, where could he be? Where's he? And yet, what does Dad do? Dad continues to play the game because it's his child. He loves the game of hide and seek, right? And when I'm hiding, what do I do? Yeah, I hide like this. You know? I hide behind a place where he has to find me. And if he doesn't find me, I start making noises. Because you know what? The point of hide and seek is to be found. I mean, you think it's not to be found, but that would be a real drag if 14 years later they find you in the closet of your mom's, you know, bedroom. Because no one ever came and found you. Jesus was meant to be found. This is something that I got over Christmas time. God gave it to me. In Luke chapter 2, we all like to read from that on Christmas Day. But verse 8, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I always think of Charlie Brown Christmas Story when I read this passage right here. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You will find a baby. Suddenly, a great company of the angel host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They hurried off and found Mary. The angel said, "You will find a baby." And then if you go on, the same chapter, way down in verse 41, that's a lot of verses in one chapter. It says, every year his parents, talking about Mary and Joseph, now Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Back then, they would all travel in big herds and big packs, and they all traveled together, and just like an ice age. And Jesus stayed behind. They thought he was with family or friends or whatever. And days later, they find out that he's nowhere around. They can't find him. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. After they realized Jesus wasn't around, they turned back from their course. They left their agenda behind because there's only one thing on their mind. They must find Jesus. So they stopped what they were doing immediately and turned back. Now, let's talk about the emotional states of these two individuals that found Jesus. What do you think the emotional state was of the shepherds when the angel came and said, "Lo, I bring you great news of good joy"? And what they said, "Let's go find him." What are some words that would explain his emotional state? Excited. Anything else? What? Nervous. What? Nervous. Okay, that's what you said too. Excited, nervous. It was a woohoo moment. Yeah. Come on, let's go find him. All right? Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, what are some words that would describe him? And I'll ask the ladies on this one because I'm not sure we'll get it right. The guys are like, "So what? The kid will find his way home. He's like a dog. He'll get there sooner or later. When he gets hungry, he'll show up," right? But ladies, what are some words that you would have as a mom? Every one of us, well, I don't know if every one of us, but I'd imagine most of us here, have you ever lost your kid or thought you lost your kid? Right? What were the feelings that you had? Panic. Frantic. Anxious. Scared, right? There was a sense of urgency. I must find my baby, right? So no matter what state your emotional situation is, you have got to find Jesus. Whether it's in a state of excitement or it's a state of despair, it's a state of fear, it's a state of panic, it doesn't matter. My job is to find Jesus. I must find Jesus no matter what state I'm in currently. Even if it's a state of contentment, I must find Jesus. And you know why I must find him? Because I need to gain his perspective. If you get the news's perspective, you'll get the facts, but you're going to get the wrong perspective. We got global warming. We got the economy. I tell you what. I go to the mall and I see all the lines. I'm waiting in line and I'm just getting ticked off. Oh, there's the economy for you. I'm waiting 15 minutes to buy this stupid sweater because the economy's bad. I'm trying to figure that one out. I went down to the mall the other day to go return something and there are people everywhere. I'm thinking, there's the economy right there. I tried going to the theaters while during the holidays. Not, I mean, I wouldn't go to theater. I went there to witness to people. I wouldn't do something ungodly like go to theater. But the lines were just forever and I kept saying behind my underneath my breath for everyone to hear. I just... Wow, there's the economy for you, you know? But the panic is today with a lot of people, the economy's bad. We used to in America have everything great and the economy's bad. What do I do? How am I going to handle this? There's a lot of people that are facing losing their jobs or already have lost their jobs. What do I do? There are people facing the bills that are coming upon them. What do I do with that? There are people that are facing situations at home with their children, with their parents, with their spouses. There are people that are facing the neighbors. There are people that have babies that are sick, that have friends that are sick, that are the hospitals, the homelessness, and going on and on. And just watch the news for more than a few minutes, and you'll be overwhelmed with all the negativity that happens. It's true. The facts, those things are actually going on. But what we have to find what God's perspective is on the current situation. And that brings health. It brings healing. I'm not interested what the anchor woman tells me the perspective is. I'm interested in finding out what God's perspective is, because He made me. He made the world. He's got a plan for my life, Jeremiah 29:11. He's got plans to prosper me, to give me a hope and a future. I have to find out what His perspective is, because when you find out His perspective, it brings peace. It brings contentment. For instance, I was driving down the road this last year. And I work construction when I'm not speaking places. And I had someone I was doing construction with, and I was doing this great big huge house for him. When the house got done, we were supposed to do another house. And so that was going to be another several months, maybe even a year of me helping him build that house. So I had my income set. It was perfect. All of a sudden, he's not going to build the house anymore. Now everything is just dropping. I don't have any bookings. And I'm driving home with my son. When I call the guy, and I told my son, I said, Jordan, I don't know what I'm going to do. The job I just had for the next year is gone. I don't have any speaking engagements, and I don't have any money extra in the bank. Daddy doesn't know how he's going to pay his bills or do my rent. I don't. And then I said, but let's find out what Jesus thinks about our situation. And so my son said, okay. He was 12 years old. Close his eyes. 30 seconds later, says, Dad, you want to hear something cool? I said, yeah. He said, I saw this long tunnel, really long, and we were right in it. I said, well, you're right so far. And he said, but Dad, we were almost out of it. We were at the very end of it. We were almost out of it. And it changed my entire situation. It changed my entire emotional state when I realized we're almost out of this tunnel. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent in a couple of days. I don't care. You know why? Because I've got God's perspective. He gave me a clear word last night, and I asked him, I said, God, what is your perspective? And I didn't hear anything. I said, okay, I think I'm where you want me to be, and I'm doing what you want me to do. And then all of a sudden I get home, and I'm talking to the guy about what I'm going to talk about today. Something at his home. He says, Steve, I think you're supposed to talk about the shrewd manager. I said, why is that? And he said, well, I just keep getting shrewd manager in my head. Well, that's the scripture I shared with you 2 days ago, the shrewd manager that talked about my current situation and where I'm at. And I just went, there's the perspective. There's God's perspective right there. Who cares what the economy says? Who cares what the boss says? That's not important. What is important is God's perspective. God made us to walk with Him and to be with Him. And no matter what emotional state we are in, we need to find the baby lying in a manger. We need to find Jesus wherever He may be. And if we don't hear God's voice, you better stop the truck and get out and start running around. God, where are you? Because I want to find out, what is your perspective? What do you think about this current situation? We have got to get God's perspective. That brings healing. But it takes faith to hear Jesus. I ask people a lot, because I'm curious, what's God been saying to you? And more often than not, I get, oh, I don't know. Well, wait a minute, what do you mean you don't know? You're a believer, right? Jesus is our friend. He became the Son of Man so that we could walk with Him and hear Him and go where He tells us to go. That's most vital importance. If we're going to be a follower of Jesus, you have to know where He is. And if I don't know what He's been saying to me, how am I following Him? God, you know, look around. No one has that big thing on their backs so that you just crank it up. And God doesn't put the energizer in your back. And then when that baby's dead, then He takes you up into heaven. He just doesn't put you on auto cruise. And then you just go ahead and live your life however you want to live. Do your best. I'm there for you. I believe in you. No, He's planned out our days. But how often do we live our days asking Him what He wants to do? How often we live our days what we think is best instead of, wait a minute, God, this is what I think is best, but what do you think? Do you really want me to go to work today? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, some might use that, but really, There was one day, since I'm self-employed, I asked him that, and he said, no, I don't want you to go to work. I said, well, God, what do you want to do? He says, I don't want you to go to work today. And God did a major miracle for me on that day that I would have missed had I gone to work. But I'm trying to live my life. God, what do you want to do today? Because his day, our days are lined out for us. So to get where he has for us, his plans for us, to get the plans I have for you are to prosper you, to give you hope in the future. To get there, we have to go day by day by day to get there. If we don't go day by day according to the days he's planned, then where are we going to end up? Just because he said, I have plans for you, doesn't mean you're going to get his plans unless you go according to his plans. Right? You have to go one step at a time. We have to hear God's voice. It is of utmost importance that we learn to hear his voice again. Not just when we're in severe emotional states, but every day. God, what are you saying today? What do you want to do today? What do you think about the situation? I know there are people in this room that are struggling with things. I'm telling you, if you'll get God's perspective, he will bring contentment to you and he'll bring peace to you. There are people today that have everything going for them, and yet they are miserable because they don't have God's perspective. I want to have enough money to pay my rent 2 days from now. Because why? It'll bring me contentment. I'd like to have enough money to fix my car right now. Why? Because it would make me feel good. But you know what God does? He just comes and just gives me the straight contentment. He doesn't water it down by giving me a vehicle. He doesn't water it down just by giving me the money. He gives me straight contentment. And you know what happens there at that point? My contentment, my peace, is no longer reliant upon my bank account. Which is good, because in today's economy, you have no idea where it's going to be tomorrow. So you're up 1 minute, down the next, because it's constantly going like the stock market. You just don't know what end is up. But now my confidence, what I can tell you is I don't care. I mean, well, I'm okay with it, about not sure about my rent in a couple days, because I am at peace, because God just flat out straight gave me the peace. I know he's going to take care of me. He always has. I'm right where he wants me to be, and I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do, and I can rest, and I have never been this content before in my entire life, and it feels so good to know my contentment isn't coming from circumstantial evidence. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We're called believers. What's our job then? Believe. You have to believe. You have to believe that he knows what he's doing. You have to believe that he made you and he adores you. God, I want to be pleasing to you. You are. You're his child. You have to believe that if you'll do what he tells you to do, you'll get where he wants you to be. And there's always great contentment there. But it takes faith to hear his voice. Everywhere I go lately, for the last year and a half, I can't think of a time it hasn't happened. People have heard God's voice. And everywhere I go, when I deal with teenagers, they are prophesying over each other. They're telling things to other kids that they shouldn't even know because God revealed something to them. They don't know they're prophesying because I don't dare tell them, because we think prophecy is a certain way. We think that to hear God's voice, I think he has to show up in certain places, like in church, or he has to show up in a prayer meeting. I hear him on the radio. I heard him on the radio on the way down, Casey Kasem. Top 40, 50, 60, whatever it is now, I don't know. That poor guy, he needs another job, right? I hear him in movies. I hear him in the Word, because I like to read the Word, and he speaks to me through all sorts of things, through billboards, through other people. And if we just think God speaks at a prayer meeting, or God speaks when we show up in a church, we are missing the whole thing, and we're only going to hear him once a week. That's not enough. If you only talk to your spouse or your best friend once a week, your relationship's going to begin to suffer. Your relationship will only be as strong as its communication. And then I found out for years, my only communication to God was one-sided. I was always talking at him. I was always talking at God. I was asking him to do things for me, and that's okay. But what's better than that is to find out his perspective. Jesus, what do you think? It's not hard work to hear his voice. Religion makes it difficult. But Jesus never wanted it to be difficult. He just wants to play hide and seek. You have to search and you have to find him. If you're right-handed and I were to ask you to write your name with your left hand, that would be difficult for you. Why? Because you never do it. But if you kept doing it, you'd be as good with your left hand as you were with your right hand after a while. The only reason that's tough work to hear God's voice is because sometimes we just haven't practiced it for very long. But you get to the point where you practice it a lot, you know what? it'll just happen. It'll begin to flow. It's only weird because we haven't done it before, but just because it's weird does not make it wrong. Everyone look at me and say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Otherwise, I'm pretty wrong. Weirdness does not make it wrong. It just means we've never done it that way before. This was God's original plan. We've come so far from the original that it looks like it's brand new, but it's not brand new. He made Adam and Eve in the garden like we've talked many times before because he wanted someone to walk in the garden with. He wanted to talk. He wanted to communicate just about everyday life. The song, I Come to the Garden Alone. It's an old hymn. I wonder how often Jesus sings that song. He shows up in the garden of our life and he just waits for us to show up and have communion. To commune, to become intimate, to just laugh. When's the last time you told your friend a joke? When's the last time you laughed with your friend? When's the last time you laughed with Jesus? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh. It takes faith to hear his voice. You know why? Because when God speaks to you, he speaks to you in your thoughts. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he doesn't speak to you in my thoughts? Hey! Woo! What's up? Aren't you glad God didn't speak in that voice in your head? I can understand why people wouldn't want to talk to him at that point. But when God speaks to you, when they filmed Prince of Egypt, you know, the animated movie, and they were deciding whose voice should we make God in the burning bush when he speaks to Moses, and they thought James Earl Jones, you know, Darth Vader guy, and some big voice like that, and then they thought, why don't we just use his own voice? Because when God speaks to us, he speaks to us usually in our own voice. So how do I know that is that God or that just me? The number one thing that always comes in your head when you hear God's voice is, oh, that just me. That's just me. You know, one hand, you ask God for something, he shows up sometimes immediately, and you're like, oh, that's just me. And God's like, I can't win with you. You ask me for something, I give it to you. You know, he says, a good father will give perfect gifts to those who ask him. And so we ask him, he gives it to us, he says, oh, that was just me. How do I know if it's me or not? How do I know if it's me or if it's God? You have to act on it. This is one thing that it means when it says in James 2:17, faith without works is dead. So you close your eyes or you open your eyes. I suggest people to do both. Ask God a question and look around because he might show you a sign. You might see something that all of a sudden it just catches your attention. Wow. There's a girl that was in Disneyland. I've been talking to her about having a communication with God like this. And she says, I wonder if God can do this in Disneyland. So she was in Disneyland. She said, okay, God, I'm going to try this thing that Steve-O was talking about. Lately, I just feel like I haven't been hearing your voice. A couple weeks ago, I felt like you and I were on the same page. I felt like you were talking to me, but I just feel lost. I don't know what to do. You haven't talked to me. I'm graduating. I don't know where I'm supposed to go to college. I don't know what's going on. And she went on and on and on. When she finally got done, she sat there and waited for God to say something back. She didn't know what it was going to look like. Nothing happened. So she found another ride to go on. Right? Later on in the day, there's a little girl on a bench, and she was just crying. So Lindsay came up and said, what's wrong, sweetheart? And the girl says, I can't find my mom and dad. Are you lost? Yeah. She says, well, my name is Lindsay. I have an idea. What if I pick you up and I hold you up above the crowd? I bet you could see mom and dad from there, huh? I bet they're really close. Okay. So she picks her up, and the moment she picked her up, immediately 10 feet away, 15 feet away were mom and dad, and they were on a beeline for her. What happened is all these other people, all these other situations had gotten between them. But mom and dad knew right where their daughter was. Their daughter wasn't lost. But she thought she was lost because all she could see were all these other circumstances going around. She gave her mom and dad. And it was like God was in heaven going, hello, McFly. Well, Biff, I. She went, oh, God, that little girl is me. And you're her parents. I'm not lost. Just all these other things have gotten in the way. Just the circumstances I'm looking at. You are right. See, God uses, so sometimes when I pray with my eyes open. I tell people, ask God what he thinks and look around. You might see a billboard. You might see, you might hear a radio song. There might be something, but God speaks in all sorts of ways. He does this. We put these goggles on and think this is how God has to speak to us. He doesn't speak to us in religious goggles. He just doesn't. He can, but he's bigger than that. He can speak to you through a little child. He can speak to you through watching someone trip on the concrete, maybe even yourself tripping on the concrete. There are so many ways that he speaks to us. Not you, but, yeah. Okay, so. And then I tell people, ask God what he thinks and close their eyes when they ask him, because sometimes God wants to shut out everything else and he wants to give you a vision of what he's saying to you. Like my son who had that long tunnel, he saw a picture of that tunnel because he had his eyes closed. I do both. I watch and pray, and I close my eyes and pray. Jesus, what is your perspective? Last night I said, what is your perspective? And I closed my eyes, and then I realized I was going 70, so I opened them back up again. And it wasn't until I got home, I didn't sit there and try to work it out. Okay, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, God. We make it a work thing. You don't have to make it a work thing. I asked him. He didn't say anything. At least I didn't hear. So I just go home, or the place I'm staying. And 30 minutes later, this guy says to me exactly what I needed to hear. We try to work God up. You don't have to work him up. He wants to speak to you, but sometimes you got to get to the place where you're going so he can speak to you there. We've made it so religious and so difficult. It takes faith to hear him because he speaks in your voice. When he speaks in your voice, you don't know if it's you or God. So you have to act on it. That's the faith. And you will never know. If you don't act on it, you'll never know if it was God or not. It just dies. Faith without works is dead. At that moment, what God said, you just dies. It never went anywhere. You didn't even know if it was God or not because you didn't act on it. You have got to take a step of faith. And here's the good news. In America, we're so consumer-based. We're so into performance that we think it has to be about being right or wrong. What if God says something to me and it's not God and I'm wrong? You're wrong by not doing anything. You can't lose in this situation. Why? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. So when you ask God what his perspective is, and you get a thought, and you think it's just, I don't know, it's just me, and sometimes the only action is, I'm going to believe that that's God. I'm just going to believe. Sometimes that's your only action that you have to take. But let's say you step out, and all of a sudden, you fall flat on your face. Oop, I guess that wasn't. Remember Raiders of the Lost Ark, or whichever one it was, of the 15, what it was, I don't know. But remember he had to walk on the stones, and he had to pick the right stone? Well, he didn't just go running out there. He'd test the stone first. Is this okay? And then when that's right, then he'd test the other stone. And sometimes God speaks in hints, because he wants us to find him. I'm over here, but you can't find me. If you've been looking for a while, he'll make himself known because he wants to be found. That's the key to hide and seek. He wants you to find him. So you walk circumspectly. You walk in the spirit. God, when that stone seems to be right, then you step forward and then you find the next one. And so when you're beginning to move out on that, let's say he speaks to you and you step out and the stone gives way underneath you and you crash and burn. You just pleased God. Because it's not about being right or wrong. It's about the act of faith that you just took. And you can't go wrong. I think this might be God. I'm not sure. So I'm stepping out on this baby. I remember one time I was going to the grocery store and I'm so old. I remember when the grocery stores first got the automatic door openers. And I walked in there, you know, of course it's so overdone now, but I just snapped my fingers like my kids, they use the force. And the doors open up, you know. I just snapped my finger like that and the doors opened up. You know, I'm acting like I'm all got everything. Well, of course, my wife, who wasn't my wife yet, decides to mock me. That's not mine anointed, the Bible says. Because she goes behind me and she's mocking me and she snaps her fingers and runs right in the door. Didn't even open for her. And sometimes you will just take a step and bam, you will run right into that door. You know what? You just please the heart of your maker, the heart of your lover, the heart of your father. You please him because you stepped out in faith. That's right or wrong. So what if that wasn't God's voice? Now you can check that off and say, okay, God doesn't sound like that. I've got the bruise to prove it. You have to understand something. We are followers of Christ. To follow him, we have to know where he's going. We just can't blindly go about life and come to him when we're in trouble or come to him when we're excited. We have to come to him at all times. It's not that big of a deal. You don't have to work something up. It's easy. It just might be weird for a while until you get the hang of it. But growing up, I used to worry about fall, we call it backsliding, falling away from God. I worried about that all the time. I can't remember the last time I worried about that. This is too crazy. It's too exciting for me to fall away from God. God, where do you want to go next? Are you sure? I don't like jumping off cliffs. Sometimes God calls you to let go. And trust me. Oh, how sick is it of a dad to tell his son to jump off the table into his arms? It scares the boy to death. But you know what? The boy, he just runs and jumps because dad's standing there with open arms. God sits at the end of the table and he says, trust me. It's okay. I know your situation. You think I don't know your situation? Find out my perspective. Because he's way up above. He sees this whole thing. We're rats in the maze. Keep running to the wall. Everywhere we turn, keep running to the wall. And God's like, no, go left and then right. No, left. Left. No, just keep going right. No, nothing's going right. I know. Go left. And he's up in heaven and he sees all this. And meanwhile, we're down here below and we keep running into things. And God's saying, relax, you're almost there. You're almost out of the tunnel. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. Just know that I'm God. That means you have to believe. We are supposed to be people of faith. But God has blessed America for so long that we don't need him so much anymore. At least we don't think we do. We don't realize he's the one that put the job in our... He's the one that put the bank account there. He's the one that put the family. He's the one that does that. He's always taking care of us, and he's going to take care of us. Economy, shmonomy. God is my source. Man is not my source. And God told me, I'm going to give you creative ways to make money, Steve. You have to use your brain. That's what he told me specifically. That was a parable of the shrewd manager that the guy from out of the blue last night said, I'm getting shrewd manager for some reason. And just last week, God had given me the scripture that said that. I know it's a scary time. I know that we go through struggles, but struggles are okay. We don't have to get through them. We can walk in them. God will get us through sooner or later, but don't be in such a hurry. God, what is your perspective? Man, that is of utmost importance. That's all that matters. His perspective, because he sees the whole picture. We just see this one little thing, and all this thing is right in front of our face. We keep running into the wall, and God's saying, shh, listen. And we keep getting worked up. We can't hear his voice because it's still worked up. We keep running to the wall. Hey, what's going on? God's like, shh. Yeah, I'd rather be shh. If you were down here, you wouldn't shh me. Shh you. And God's like, well, you calm down. It's easy for you to say calm down. You're right. It is easy for me to say calm down because I'm God, and I can calm you down too. If you'll be quiet for a minute and ask me what my perspective is. He knows what he's doing. You can trust him. That's really what he wants. That's what his heart is really beating for. Trust me, you say to a kid all the time when you have kids, trust me, because you want to be trusted. Your heavenly Father does the same thing. Shh, trust me. Will you just please trust me? I hurt for you too. Shh, I got something I want to give you. You've got mail. We must find his perspective. That's your job as a believer. That's our only job, is to walk in communion with him. Not just partake of communion, but that's a symbol of walking in intimacy with him. What did Jesus say? Not my will, but yours be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. God, what is your perspective? And I promise you, when you hear him, he will bring healing to you. When you hear him, he will bring healing to you. He will bring a contentment that you're looking for the money to provide, and he just provided you straight out contentment without anything else. It doesn't get better than that. It does not get better than that.